Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, let's get the show cooking. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio as we speak. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Good news, if you listen to our podcast, you now have other options to check out the podcast, not only on the podcast page at stevejonesshow.com, but also our podcast is now available on Google Play and iTunes. So if you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can download the Apple Podcast app or just go to iTunes and search Steve Jones Show and you'll find our podcast. And if you're on iTunes, subscribe to it and leave your comment about the show. We appreciate that. Other ways, too, you can get in contact with us by email, stevejones@wkok.com. It's our email. You can also find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at stevejonespsu. And, of course, our toll-free is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Well, we now know who is going to be in the Final Four in Phoenix after some crazy basketball over the weekend with the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. And we've got Gonzaga in, Oregon, North Carolina, and how about South Carolina? That's the that was the one... I'll call Cinderella. Sure, we can call it Cinderella. First time ever, first time since 1973 that South Carolina has gotten this far. That was the last time that they really had made some noise in the college basketball postseason. But South Carolina, they get Gonzaga. That'll be the first game, 6:09 on Saturday night. And then the nightcap at about 9 o'clock, will be Oregon and North Carolina. So it'll be 1 week from tonight, the national championship game, of course, on CBS. Later tonight and tomorrow will be Phillies preseason baseball. We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK is the National League Baseball, Major League Baseball season. National, of course, and American. They'll get started on Sunday, 6 days away from the start of baseball season. So we're excited and looking forward to that. With WKOK for the second year in a row being your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. So we look forward to giving you every game on 1070 AM this season. Big NFL news. The owners' meetings are going on out in Arizona, and a story that's broken within the past couple of hours, early this afternoon, the Oakland Raiders will be moving to Las Vegas, 31-1 vote. Now, it's not going to be like the San Diego Chargers leaving and then playing this coming season in Los Angeles. This will actually be a two-year plan. They got to build the stadium in Vegas first. So it'll be in 2019 when the Oakland Raiders will make their debut in Las Vegas. Las Vegas Raiders. Already seeing pictures of the Oakland Raiders helmet underneath that infamous Las Vegas sign. That didn't take long. So
yeah.
Just amazing. I posted this on our Facebook page a little bit ago with the breaking news about Oakland. With three teams have now moved in 15 months. Who'd have thought? Yeah. Who'd have thought?
I think 15 months ago we would have thought that that would happen. Yes, I would have. The only one that I'm not that I am surprised at, I really thought the San Diego thing would work.
It's funny. As soon as the Oakland story broke, the Chargers released a statement that they have sold out of their tickets for the 2017 season, all 30,000 of them. for the StubHub Center.
Yeah, I'm amazed.
But I kind of wonder, though. You figure there's tickets, though, that go to players, families, and obviously visiting team gets a stipend of tickets. So just kind of wonder how many of the 30,000 were truly sold.
Well, it's a metro area of 11 million. I'm glad they sold 30,000.
Should at least be able to do that.
If you can't do that, your sales staff's really bad. Really, but your product is bad. If that's the case, did you see the LeBron James tweets?
I'm a Twitter guy, but I actually did not see his tweets. Pull them up here.
How bad is it that, of all people, I'm aware of it? LeBron James shares message on leadership echoing South Carolina's Frank Martin. Let's start with South Carolina's Frank Martin, okay? Just so you know what he said. Frank Martin, South Carolina basketball coach. You know what makes me sick to my stomach? When I hear grown people say that kids have changed. Kids haven't changed. Kids don't know anything about anything. We've changed as adults. We demand less of kids. We expect less of kids. We make their lives easier instead of preparing them for what life is truly about. We're the ones who have changed. To which this brought the reaction from LeBron James. In a series of tweets, it's very hard, by the way, to articulate philosophy in 140 characters or less. Plato and Socrates could not have handled Twitter. Man, if it weren't for Big Frank, Bruce Kelker, Willie Earle, Coach Dambrot, that's Keith Dambrot, who's the coach at Akron. He was the St. Vincent coach when LeBron was there. Coach Drew Joyce, I wouldn't be the player or man I am today. As a kid, they showed toughness and stayed on me every single day. Never sugarcoated anything. Told me to be real and lit me up when I wasn't applying. Reason I'm saying this is I believe that this is a major part of the reason why kids do not succeed as much because the leaders and the coaches, etc. They won't get on them because they're afraid of losing a kid or losing the sponsorship that comes with the kid or have their own agenda. He says, we need to be pushed, kicked, loved, then pushed and kicked again. Because that's what brings and breeds the hunger inside of us. Whoever you are out there, please stop worrying about you. And if you really care for the kid, give them guidance, as my coaches and mentors did for me. Can't stand it anymore because I love and will die right now for my sport and sports in general. Now, this has brought with it, obviously, reaction, but he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Hey, what good do you get in life if you're constantly coddled? You end up like the suit. Oh, sorry. That's a different topic. But you have... it's okay to be pushed. Now, can people take it too far? Yes, you can take it too far. But even, you know, now, with kids, it's a little different. There's a little more teaching with kids and so forth. I understand that. But years ago, I had the privilege of working with Gil Santos, who for 40 years did the Patriots. And it was a four-year span where Gil did Penn State football, and I was the third wheel. I was the third announcer at the time. So my role was obviously limited on the network. But I also got to sit there and watch Gil Santos work and talk with him often about the profession. And there are many areas where there was a certain philosophy that he had. And one of them he imparted to me one day was this. You will get to a certain point in your life, in your career, that you will be the first one to know when you've done it right, and you will be the first one to know you've done it wrong. You won't need anybody to tell you. You won't need anybody, you know, back then we didn't have this. He said, but you don't need a letter from the editor. You don't need a Twitter, people tweeting about you or social media or whatever. You will know long before anybody else whether you've done it right or whether you've done it wrong. You'll be the first one. For young players, they don't know that yet. They don't know when they've done it, really done it right and really done it wrong. There's sometimes, for example, they score, they still did it wrong. The end result was fine. But he's absolutely right about that. Now, you don't want some raving psychotic where everything's wrong and they're yelling and screaming and the whole thing for no particular reason. There has to be some balance in it where it's okay to push them. Push hard, okay? Explain the negative. Be blunt about the negative. But then be the first ones to throw your arms around them and tell them you love them at the end of the day. And be the first ones to tell them that's what I'm looking for. And then build upon the positives. Okay, it's all right to take positives and build upon because confidence does mean something. But sometimes you've got to tear down a little bit to then rebuild. And Frank Martin's right. It's not the kids have changed today. Oh, yeah, they watch video games and the whole deal. That's okay, fine. But believe me, kids in bygone years when they didn't have video games found other ways to have fun, goof off, or whatever. I mean, believe me, it's every generation has had that. But, yeah, it's our group has changed. Oh, everybody gets a trophy. No, not everybody gets a trophy. I'm sorry. That doesn't work. What does that do? I remember as a kid, we had Peter King on the show, 5-6 weeks ago? Right? Does that sound right? And when we had him on, we never talked about this, we just talked about whatever. But, we played Little League ball together. Okay. Well, it turned out that I played on two teams that got trophies because we won the league. Well, that happened to be one of the teams. In the seasons when the teams I was on didn't win, 500, worse than that, maybe just missed, okay, did we all hang our heads and say, can't believe they didn't give us a trophy or a ribbon? We're like, the heck with it. We're like, okay, it's over. I got to get better. That's what we did. I got to get better. We got to get better. We got to do something. Okay? They didn't sit there and go, I can't believe they didn't give us a ribbon or a trophy. Like, please, don't. No. That's not how it works. Now, I think what LeBron's referring to more than anything else is what we're seeing on the junior high school, and then the college level, the collegiate level, where you're worried if I yell at the star, the star is going to leave the team and the star is going to transfer someplace else. Or the star is going to leave the high school and transfer someplace else. Well, risk it. Because guess what? The really good ones, I'll give you an example. LeBron James, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Sidney Crosby, and Mike Trout. We'll take those five. I've read enough about each of them. You know what they all want? Every one of them? While you are sitting there and naively thinking, these guys are so great, they don't need to be coached. Okay? I mean, they just do stuff that you just can't teach anybody. You hear that all the time. Well, no. What makes what those five have in common besides great talent is all five have incredible work ethic and they want to be coached. Have you ever heard Peyton Manning ever refer to someone who coached him as anything except Coach Cutcliffe. Okay? Coach Caldwell. Every single person that coached him, he's always referred to them as coach. He wanted to be coached. Tom Brady. I remember that night we were down at Damon's doing the talk show with Bill O'Brien. And this guy was talking about coaching quarterbacks, and he's had to slip it. He says, oh, you didn't really have to coach Tom Brady. Do you know how mad Bill got that night? I mean, like, really mad. And he kept it, but he looked at me, and he looked at me, gave me that look of the absurdity of it. Because Tom Brady would be the first one to tell you how he thrives on coaching. Now, these players do get to a point where they're the first ones to know when they've done it right and the first ones to know they've done it wrong. So the conversation is a bit different with them today than it was earlier in their career. But the really great ones want to be coached, and it's not talked enough about. Now, you don't want to have a raving psychotic over there who are yelling about everything left and right. That's not coaching. But it's okay to get on them. It's okay to, when it's a repeated mistake, to say, okay, everybody in the line, we're running. Guess what? It's okay. Guess what? You're going to come out of there with more of a backbone and realizing how you fight through mistakes and how you got to make yourself better. So he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Some people, there's certain things that people say, they'll say that you think are wrong or whatever. He's not wrong about this one. He's not wrong about this one at all. Now, then you get some other people that work the system, for example, Sean, like, you know, look, you only have 3 pole vaulters, I'll go out for that one. So I'll get a letter. I mean, that's manipulating the system. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Sunbury Motors Lincoln continues to satisfy the most discerning buyer by making American luxury affordable. If you are looking for a midsize SUV, the Lincoln MKX has to be on your list. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has a brand new 2016 Black Velvet MKX all-wheel drive with navigation and panoramic vista roof with an MSRP of $48,640 for only $43,352. That's $5,288 in savings. You can choose from 12 MKXs in stock now. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has 5 2017 Lincoln Continentals in stock, ready for the test drive of your life. The 2017 Continental won the coveted 2017 AutoGuide.com Reader's Choice Luxury Car of the Year Award. Sunbury Motors has a 2017 Continental with an MSRP of $48,315, discounted to $46,315. Now is the time to see why more people are realizing they can move up to a brand new Lincoln from Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. The other night, they kept showing Magic Johnson at the Kentucky-UCLA game. And they're talking, well, how neat it is that Magic's there. Wow, you know, Magic taking in a game like this. They talked about the 79 Final Four. Oh, for goodness sakes, he runs the Lakers now. He wanted to see Fox, he wanted to see Monk, and he wanted to see Lonzo Ball. Just say it! God! They acted like they didn't have any idea why he'd be there.
Not here for pleasure. I'm here for business. I'm working.
By the way, Kevin Kugler on the show tomorrow.
Love it.
He's going to be the radio voice of the Final Four. Phoenix. They've never played a basketball game in the building.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Now for this day in sports history. Today's show, of course, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. On the show today, Matt Leon. Bring him in a few minutes. And Brian Tripp with a recap of Penn State hockey. Tomorrow, Kevin Kugler, who will call the Final Four on radio. One thing all four teams have in common, not one of them has ever played a game in this building before. I have no idea how it's going to be set up. It's going to probably be set up like all the other ones. It is a completely different depth perception deal in these buildings compared to what they just saw. Now, they were all in standard buildings for the regionals and have played in standard buildings all year. Well, not in this. This is a different animal. Sean's not here. There we go. I took care of that call.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I'm open. I can tell. I'm available after 5.
No, it was the IRS. You weren't. 1917, the Seattle Metropolitans of the Pacific Coast League of Canada defeated the Montreal Canadiens to become the first team to win the Stanley Cup 100 years ago today. 1981, President Reagan hosted a luncheon honoring the members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. 1989, Sports Illustrated exposed Pete Rose's gambling activities. The magazine article alleged that Rose bet on baseball from the Riverfront Stadium dugout using hand gestures with an associate. In 1994, Magic Johnson became head coach of the Lakers. He coached them for the final 16 games of the 93-94 season. 2007, NFL owners voted 30-2 to make video replay a permanent officiating tool. Today, they voted 31-1 to allow the Raiders to move to Las Vegas. The one no vote, the Miami Dolphins. Stephen Ross voted no. Everyone else voted yes. That is three moves by the Tiffany League in 15 months. How about that? Three moves, 15 months. Rams from St. Louis to Los Angeles, Chargers San Diego to Los Angeles, Raiders Oakland to Las Vegas. They will start playing in Las Vegas in 2019. Now it's going to be interesting to see as to what they do with that land in regards to the Oakland A's. The A's have wanted to move to San Jose for a long time, but they have been blocked for a long time, because San Jose is within the Giants' territorial rights, which, by the way, the A's ceded to them years ago in a moment of generosity, which has turned to be a pain in the neck for them. It is the only stadium that is used for both football and baseball right now. Do they tear that down or tear it apart and make it into just a baseball park there next to Oracle Arena? Because they're not only going to lose the Raiders, Oakland is going to lose the Warriors as well. Remember, the Warriors are moving on the other side of the bay to San Francisco.
It doesn't matter if it's 5, 10, or 20 years from now, Penn State men's ice hockey fans will look back to this past season, the 2016-17 campaign, when Penn State became a top-shelf Division I hockey team. Penn State was one game away from going to the Frozen Four. They were eliminated from the postseason tournament by top seed Denver 6-3. Here's Steve's conversation with Penn State men's ice hockey play-by-play announcer Brian Tripp.
The team you're broadcasting for has an avalanche. It's usually a lot of fun. When they went to work on Union and the avalanche happened, what was it like for Tim and you in the booth?
Man, it was so much fun, Steve. And I think it was a culmination of hard work for the entire season. I think even though the team won the Big Ten tournament, had a terrific year winning 24 games to that point, there were still people wondering, how good were they and what could they do in their first NCAA championship? So to do it, 10 goals in any game is fun, but to do it against a team like Union, which has NHL players on the team and a team that has NCAA tournament experience, won the 2014 national championship, it was unbelievable, especially to see the guys who got it done. Freshmen, seniors, top to bottom, the whole team. It was a rewarding experience for them, and it was so much fun to see from the booth.
What do they gain moving forward because they had the experience of being in it?
Well, I think they gain a lot of experience, first of all. I think that's the biggest thing. Now that you're there, you know what it takes, and you know what it takes to get to the Frozen Four. I think going into yesterday's game against Denver, a lot of people were curious. Denver, I think the consensus number one for much of the year and the favorites to win the whole thing. We're kind of wondering what the gap is like between Penn State and Denver and if there's a gap and how big it may be. And I think we were awestruck by the performance Denver had on Saturday against Michigan Tech, and likewise awestruck by the performance Penn State had on Saturday against Union. And I'll be honest with you, Steve, I don't think the gap was all that big between Denver and Penn State. I think Penn State had to play a near flawless game to win, and Denver, because of their quality, forced some mistakes early. And although Penn State came back to tie it at two, going down 2-0 really, really hurt. And they just never could establish their identity. And they didn't play maybe a simple game or stick to their habits that they did down the stretch in the Big Ten tournament and against Union. But you look at overall talent, yes, Denver's got some great players. But Penn State does too, considering you have 11 freshmen on the roster. So I think you take away a couple things. Number one, the experience of being there. You know how hard you worked and how hard you have to work to get back to that point. And you realize that you're not that far away. And I think that's a big learning experience for a young program to see that, wow, just in 5 years you could get to that point and be essentially 35 minutes from the Frozen Four because it was still tied 5 minutes into the second period.
Denver looked like they had speed on every line. And I also thought in watching yesterday that for whatever, and you have days like this, I felt like every 50-50 puck, they got it.
Yeah, I think they did. I think that's a great analysis, Steve. They were so fast. They got to the loose pucks. And I think, and I don't know that they'd admit this, I think by the second period, and you know how hard you have to work to get back into a game, and that's why I said going down 2-0 really hurt, even though they tied it back up at 2. And maybe Penn State gets a bounce early, don't hit a crossbar, you get the shorthanded goal when you have the two odd man rushes in the 2-2 game when Denver got the power play early in the second, and maybe you can get some energy and get your legs going. I just think playing the 240 minutes in the Big Ten tournament and having to work so hard in that tournament, they were beat up. They were tired. I think it started to catch up to them a little bit when they got down again a second time in the second period. I thought they looked a little fatigued. I think Denver deserves a ton of credit for it. They have a great, great, great hockey team. And I think the deepest hockey team that Penn State has seen all year, probably outside of their own. I think Penn State was a really deep team. Minnesota has some top-end stars. Other teams have some top-end stars. But as far as depth, I think Penn State can go with anyone. But Denver had the depth, the speed, and their ability to rotate their lines and play matchups. You could really see that paying off for them in the second and third periods.
Yeah, and I felt that the five-minute major power play that they had, I think that's where the fatigue, I thought, showed up, because Denver played as if, to me, it looked like Denver played that 5 minutes as if they were at even strength.
Yeah, I thought Denver did a great job denying the zone. And once Penn State finally got into the zone at the end of the power play, they got a few looks. And look, they scored again there in the third, but you're facing the Denver team I said this on the broadcast, they only allowed more than three goals once all year, and they actually won that game 6-5. But
right.
That's just how good they were defensively. So you knew when it got to 4-2, especially 5-2, it was going to be really, really tough. But I agree with you, Steve. I thought the fatigue maybe showed a bit on that five-minute power play.
But now moving forward, I mean, so much available. And not only that, with a young team, it seemed to me, Brian, that they found a sink, because you have to find sink on lines. And you have to find sink on defense. And with so many people back, that's already built in.
Yeah, I don't know that chemistry was a problem even when they were juggling lines a bit. This team just seemed to gel really well together over the course of the season. But I think you're right. Finding a fit, putting Nate Soucy down the stretch of the season, back at his natural center spot. He's going to be there next year.
Yeah.
Denis Smirnoff's a terrific player. But just bringing so many guys back, the experience of playing together, you start ahead of the eight ball going into next year. Remember, hockey, you don't get a month or 2 months of practice before the season. You get a week with your coaches. So it's all the returnees that have to lead those practices. And, yeah, you lose a great leader like David Goodwin and some great seniors, Ricky DeRosa and Dylan Richard. But with so many guys back, it's hard to – you have to think that they're better positioned heading into next year. And who knows, you could lose a guy or two to turn pro. They have some great players.
Sure.
I look at maybe a guy like a Vince Pedry, Eric Audio. Those guys have all had great seasons. I don't have any indication that they would turn pro. I think you'll see probably almost everyone back, if not everyone back. But there's always roster turnover in sports. But even if there is a little turnover, they are really well positioned. And with the incoming class they have, too, the coaching staff speaks very, very highly of that incoming class. I think they're probably a preseason top five team next year.
Peyton Jones, let's get into the pluses and minuses of him. I mean, exponentially more pluses than minuses. Anybody has a slump during the course of the year. Where did he end up being better than what you saw in October?
I think his demeanor was consistent all year. So that was one thing that I think he was consistent with. His demeanor, his confidence, his poise, his ability to play the puck. I think as the year went on, he improved, where if the team made a mistake in front of him, he was ready and he could bail them out. I thought earlier in the year, adapting to the speed of the level, the skill of the Division I level, there were probably some pucks. Look, they're going to be great goal scorers and you're going to get beat 9 times out of 10 if the guy has it in front of you and it's a great player. But he took that 9 times out of 10 and made it 5 times out of 10. As the season went on. And that's what great goaltenders do. And that's what championship goaltenders do. They can steal games for you. And I thought as the season went on, he developed the knack to make big saves, timely saves, and be able to make stops that most people couldn't. And I think that's where he improved the most.
Ryan, great work. Enjoyed it as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Always appreciate it.
Ryan Tripp, as we look back on what was a great hockey season for Penn State. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. At the Combine, and I want to say 1998, in Indianapolis, Bill Polian and the world were split on Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. Now, we all know how it turned out to this day. But they discovered about Manning's intellect and dedication at the Combine. Yeah, they watched him throw in the whole thing. Manning came in with a blank yellow pad. You have 15 minutes to interview the player. Except Manning walked in with his yellow pad blank. And he said, "Do you guys mind? I have some questions for you." And every answer they came and wrote down. And then 15 minutes suddenly went like that. And Polian said, "We realized, I think it was Tom Moore they were sitting with at the time." He said, "He just came in and interviewed us." you know, asked him about system fit, player personnel, things like that. I heard that story about the blank yellow pad. And the first person I thought of was Guy Gadowski. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever. He's sitting in his office, and I'm sure he had some sort of blank yellow pad. Because there used to be a feeling around here as Penn State would do well in the club championship in the old ACHA. Oh, I'll tell you, now, Penn State could compete with Division One. I would sit there and go, no. They look at me like I was some sort of traitor for telling them the truth. I said, no, I probably would get blown out. Oh, no, that can't be. Oh, yeah, it is. So, of course, Guy takes over. And he looks around. And of course, his staff has done such great work. He says, look, we need some forwards. We need some defensemen. We need some goalies. We have nothing. And look what he's done in 5 years. Look what he's done in 5 years. I mean, the first time I interviewed Guy, I referred to what he had was an expansion team, which he agreed with, except it was even a step lower than that. You'll notice that when the Vegas Golden Knights in June will go through an expansion draft, you're allowed to protect X amount of players, and you have to leave some players unprotected. Well, the Vegas Golden Knights get to pick from the unprotected. Well, they don't do that in college. They don't say, Michigan doesn't say, I think we're going to protect 28 skaters, and here's two available, Minnesota, Wisconsin, same thing, and Penn State gets to pick them. No, you got to start from scratch. Does he have an awesome, awesome building? It's the best in all of college hockey. I mean, the best. A tin roof that keeps all the sound in, the way the roar zone is set up. At the one end, going almost straight up the way it goes up. And the hot tubs, the cold tubs, the weight room. I mean, you name it. They have a great locker room, whole deal. They got the whole shooting match there. Sold out all the time. It's great. But you still put a product out there. And he started with a blank yellow pad and said, okay, guys, we need to start filling in some names. And they did. And they made it to the second round of the NCAAs in their fifth year. That's pretty doggone amazing. It really is. That is really amazing. So it's one thing to take over an established program. It's another thing to start one from scratch. What a job he's done, along with his staff. Look, you know, he's the kind of guy that would give all the credit to everybody else. All the credit goes to everybody else. But guess what? Every group has to have a leader. He's the leader. All right, a lot going on. The Raiders are going to Las Vegas. In a related note, a member of our digital media staff has applied to be the play-by-play voice of the Raiders.
Really?
I'm sorry, the suit isn't here right now. He's over at the Sands. Oh, okay.
Slots? No, going through a tryout. Yes, he's trying blackjack. Steelers, though, they are supposed to play Oakland, but that will be in Oakland in 2018.
Yeah. Right.
before the
Well, what's interesting? Well, what's interesting about the lease that the Raiders have with Oakland and the Coliseum, it's the Raiders that have the option, not the city. That's why they're going to play in Oakland. The Raiders are going to exercise their option to play there. Now, if they absolutely wanted to play in Las Vegas, they could play at Sam Boyd Stadium. But that's about, what, 35, 40,000. That's out in Henderson, about 8-9 miles away. All right, second hour of the show coming up as only we can do it. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Kevin Kugler, voice of the Final Four on tomorrow.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.